W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Another bank has been shored up by a cash infusion, this time San Francisco's First Republic. The Dow still lost nearly 400 points today. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
First Republic isn't the only mid-sized bank suddenly facing a crisis of investor confidence. PacWest Bancorp stock has tumbled 66% this month. Western Alliance Bank, 57%, despite balance sheets that look better than Silicon Valley Bank's did before it failed last Friday.
There is a smoldering fire that has not actually been put out yet.
CBS business analyst Jill Schlesinger says banks across the country are looking to boost their cash reserves. U.S. banks borrowed more than $150 billion from the Federal Reserve this week alone.
The International Criminal Court says it's issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Vladimir Putin for war crimes in Ukraine. President Biden calls the move justified, and in Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky is applauded the move during his nightly TV address. Well, CBS News has confirmed the Justice Department is investigating TikTok's parent corporation for using the app to spy on U.S. citizens. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The app's owner, ByteDance, says the employees involved have been fired. In a statement, it added, "Our internal investigation is still ongoing, and we will cooperate with any official investigations when brought to us." The revelation comes as TikTok CEO Zhao Zichu is scheduled to testify before a House committee next Thursday. The U.S. government, as well as those of Britain and New Zealand, have restricted the use of TikTok on government devices, citing concerns about Chinese spying. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
4 days after a female soldier was found dead at Fort Hood, Texas, the woman's family wants more answers than they're getting.
Officials at Fort Hood have ruled out foul play, but the family of Army Private Ana Balsadua Ruiz says there needs to be a full investigation. David Cruz is with the League of United Latin American Citizens.
No foul play would also indicate tone deafness to the concerns of the father and the mother, who stated that she had been the target of alleged sexual harassment.
Fort Hood has not released details of the death. Some reports say it's being investigated as a suicide. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine says there's good news at the site of last month's chemical train derailment in East Palestine.
Municipal drinking water tests continue to come back good. We continue to see air testing around the community.
This is CBS News.
Choose Jackson Hewitt for 50% off and your guaranteed biggest refund. 50% off is a limited-time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
I'll second-guess dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Hi, it's Jim Polzine from Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Have you checked out badgerextra.com or the Badger Extra app powered by our top-notch Badger coverage team? Subscribe now to get extra coverage, including extra analysis, extra recruiting news, and one-on-one athlete interviews. Plus, subscribers get my exclusive podcast, Open Gym, where I answer your Badger questions. Go to badgerextra.com or search Badger Extra in your app store. Download and subscribe today.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only 1 in 3 Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 11, tonight under cloudy skies with a chance of scattered snow showers. West winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 24. Cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 11. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 18.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Anything you ever did in politics that was useful as far as they brought someone in to...
No, usually politics stuff was kind of these grandiose, you know, get into the minds of voters and connect with them and all this, you know. It was kind of like Aaron Rodgers' ayahuasca ceremony, you know. I mean, it didn't really go anywhere.
I am disappointed because I would think when you're in politics, they would have breakout sessions of... remaining completely expressionless when your candidate says something moronic. Developing the perfect simper for when you sit behind the governor and he's signing something you don't like.
SNL sketch or maybe an As Goes Wisconsin sketch. Jane comes up with what tutorials you need to be a staffer in the Madison's Capitol.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the St. Patrick's Day edition of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And what questions do you have about the upcoming spring election? 844-967-2789, because we... are joined by an expert for this segment, for this half hour. Lana Kropp is a 12-year veteran of the Wisconsin clerk world. She currently is the city clerk for the city of Lake Geneva and is serving as the secretary for the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association. And this upcoming election is going to be her 40th that she's administered in her career. So welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Lana.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you. I think you are the first clerk that we've had on the show, despite as much as we like talking about voting and elections. We talked a lot about elections last fall.
Yeah.
But this is your inaugural clerk, Lana.
Oh, man. That's a tall order to fill. Oh, my gosh.
So I guess let's start with... let's demystify what city clerks do. Because, I mean, in Wisconsin, we vote a lot, so I think we keep you guys pretty busy. But just kind of break down with responsibilities with the election, but then also responsibilities outside of elections.
Sure. So there's a lot that we do. Us clerks, we're always busy. Elections is a big part of it because, as you guys are aware, Wisconsin is a very interesting state in that our elections are very decentralized, and the municipal clerks in each municipality, whether you're a town of 200 or a city of 500,000, you're the one in charge of it. So we deal with elections. We deal with all of the licensing for our municipalities, like liquor and tobacco. How very fitting that, you know, we talk about alcohol on St. Patty's Day.
I see that you are wearing green, so...
Of course. Had to. Apparently, I'm Irish.
Oh.
But that's what my mom says. So I don't know how accurate that is. So we'll go with it.
We'll go with it.
what else? We do agendas, minutes, resolutions, ordinances. We're the records custodians for everything for the city. We handle border review. We do a number of things. And then, of course, that all changes depending on your municipality. So what might be my list of duties that I have to do for a city could be vastly different than, say, a town clerk or a village clerk.
Interesting. And so how did you find this as a career?
It's kind of a funny story. So, back in 2010, I graduated from UW-Whitewater.
Okay.
And I was looking for a job and couldn't find anything. And finally my mom found an ad for, the city of, Fort Atkinson looking for a 3/4-time receptionist. And I applied for it, got passed over, and then actually ended up getting the job. And little did I know that when I came into that position, I was actually going to be trained to become the new deputy clerk, as the current one that was there was retiring. So trained for that, became the deputy clerk, and then became a city clerk in 2014 for the city of Stoughton. And then I made the transition to Lake Geneva here in 2017.
There you go. It was funny. Did you hear about the drama? This is a side note. This has nothing to do with elections. But do you have an opinion about the drama of the big mansion that's going to be torn down in Lake Geneva after being bought for $17 million? Do you have no idea what I'm talking about?
I do, but I just I don't care. Really have no.
Well, Lake Geneva, very, very beautiful place. But so I guess you mentioned this before, but Wisconsin elections are unique in that. Mm-hmm. We're very decentralized. So maybe talk a little bit about why that is. Like, is it really like true that we're the most decentralized of any state in the union?
I don't know if we're the most decentralized. Okay. I apologize. I couldn't answer that question. But I mean, a lot of other states, when you look at the model of how they administer elections, a lot of it takes place at the county level. And they have precincts in different areas that are administering the election on behalf of the county. And while we do have county involvement with our elections here in Wisconsin, it's very minimal because we are the ones as municipal clerks, we're saying how many ballots we need, who our candidates are, because we're the filing officers for our local candidates. We are getting all of our poll workers together. We are getting all of our absentees out. We're entering all of our voter registrations. So we are in charge of our own municipality from start to finish.
And so, because when I feel like this only became an issue of people thinking about how decentralized our elections are when, and like, no one really thought about it, at least from my perspective, until 2020. Because mm-hmm. when all of the fast changes of how are we going to conduct an election during a pandemic, and because of that decentralized model, so many of the decisions, because that's the way the model is, we're left up to individual clerks and individual offices, correct? And
yes.
Thus, the criticism came of that model. And so what has been kind of since 2020, when y'all's job has been under a microscope and the amount of outsized attention and ridicule you've all been under, which is not deserved, has definitely been there. But as far as what has life been kind of pre and post the 2020 election when it comes to being a city clerk?
So, you know, I have to say I'm very fortunate in the community in which I serve that everybody is very appreciative. Everybody comes in, you know, whether it's the staff or the electors or just the general guests of our city, everybody's been very respectful and very kind, and they're very understanding of the hard work that we do. And that's not the case in all municipalities. So I really feel for those other clerks, because it is a hard job, and it's difficult sometimes to kind of stay out of the limelight and come under fire. But, you know, prior to 2020, we talked about 2012 being like the election year, because if anybody remembers, 2012 was the year of 6 elections. It was a lot.
What happened in 2012? I wasn't living here.
So in 2012, we had our four standard elections like we normally have in an even numbered year. But then we also had the recall elections for Governor Walker. So we had a February primary. We had an April spring election. We had a May recall primary. We had a June recall election. We had an August partisan primary. And then we had the November general election,
which was the presidential year. So that was Mitt Romney versus Obama. Oh, my God.
It was a big year. So like when we got done with 2012 and moved past it, we were like, oh, we never want to do that again. Because it was just, it was a lot. Yeah. Like you were barely getting done with one election before you were starting another one. So there was a lot of hard deadlines. And then we moved into 2016, which number of elections was pretty standard for an even numbered year. But then we had the presidential recount. And that added a whole nother level to clerks and what was going on and kind of explaining the different facets and methods and procedures that we follow when it comes to election. And then we hit 2020. And we always joke that like, if we could handle 2020 the way we did, we can handle anything because it was such an interesting year, not just because we were in the pandemic, but also because of the political climate as well. So it was an interesting year, to say the least. At times it was very trying.
but you're still here. You didn't quit.
I didn't. Clerks' mental health has now, and it may sound silly, but it's really becoming in the forefront of what we are discussing as a municipal clerks board, our professional organization. Because after 2020, we saw a lot of clerks leave, a lot, because it was so trying and so difficult. So we're seeing, you know, clerks are burnt out, they're stressed out. And then we have new people coming in that have no idea, you know, and it's not their fault, but they just don't know how much is involved with elections. And then every other facet of the job, because just because you have an election doesn't mean that we're not posting agendas and getting stuff done on the other end. We can't stop. So we're really focusing on clerks' well-beings and having mentor clerks available for new clerks. And it's a little bit of a shift of how it used to be back in the old days.
Well, it doesn't sound like necessarily it's like every couple of years. It's been like every 4 years, it's basically been like, oh my gosh, how do we get through that? So here's fingers crossed that 2024 is not as crazy.
I guess we'll just have to see. I mean, you know, when it comes to like the election stuff and the procedures and the rules, we're good there. It's kind of the other outside stuff that's going to get thrown at us that we're like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Yeah. Which when we come back from the break, this is a state that loves to have court rulings come down basically up until the deadline of all of you trying to get ballots out. So there's that challenge. But also I think just having a conversation, what changes have happened since 2020 that were good or bad, and you don't have to say the opinion, but just kind of what people should know about our elections right now, and also what people should know for the election that is coming up on April 4th. Our guest is Lana Kropp, who is a 12-year veteran of the Wisconsin clerk world and currently serves as the city clerk of the city of Lake Geneva. We will be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
They trade away.
We dream of a brand new start,
but we dream in the dark for the most part.
Dark as a tomb where it happens.
I've got to be in the room
where it happens.
I've got to be
where it happens.
I've got to be
where it happens.
I've got to be in the
room where it happens.
I wanna be
the room where it happens. I wanna be in the room where it happens.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Are there so many songs about voting?
to get you into the booth, into the booth.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are talking to Lana Kropp, who is a 12-year veteran of the Wisconsin clerk world, and she is currently the city clerk for the city of Lake Geneva. And we are talking to her about being a city clerk, what that means, and also elections in general, because we have one coming up in 18. Would you say it's so? When you do the countdown, Lana, for how many days we have until the election, do you include Election Day? Or is it up until Election Day? So how many days would you say we have until the election?
So I'm sorry, I'm looking up at my calendar. I would say include Election Day.
So would that be 19 days then?
You're going to make me do math.
I know. We do this. Well, this has been a debate with us and one of the other talk show hosts on this channel. Because his show was the day after, or is the hour after mine. And in the fall, I kept saying one day less than he was saying on his show. And so because I was like, no, it's the day you count until the day. He's like, no, you count the day because you can vote until the end of the day. And I was like, so I was going to get your official opinion on how you feel about that.
She just wanted to win.
That's true, too.
So I think, if I had to look at it from that aspect, so 20 days prior to the election is the last day that you can register to vote online or through the mail, and that was the end of the day on the 15th.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Good to know.
There you go. All right. So I think I do want to get into everything people should know and remember, dates, deadlines for April 4th, but also with the tumultuousness of the 2020 election. We've obviously had a big election since then. We had a huge turnout in the fall and seemingly without any drama. Right. And so as far as things that stayed the same, things that changed, welcome changes that happened coming out of, like, was there lessons out of 2020 that you felt like got addressed and got adopted into how we're doing elections 2 years out, 2+ years?
I mean, I know that we had changes when it came to how people could return their absentee ballots. And that's kind of the biggest thing that's standing out in my mind. So prior to 2020 and even during 2020, you could use a drop box at your municipality to drop off your absentee ballot. That is not the case anymore. And you could have, say, a spouse or, a family member or friend drop off a absentee ballot for you as long as it was completed with all the necessary information. And that's no longer the case either, unless there are certain circumstances due to physical ability to do so. So those are the biggest changes that I can remember coming out of 2020. I don't really have an opinion on them either way. We are a steward to the lawmakers and to the election law, and whatever we need to do, we will do within the letter of the law.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think it's just because, like I said, it's sometimes hard for the average person. Like, I follow this stuff really closely because I talk about it. But for the average person to stay up to date with what they can, or when they're just trying to vote, because there's so many dates, you know, even being able to say early voting starts March 21st, but it doesn't start everywhere March 21st because not everywhere has early voting. And so, like, the struggle to get accurate, up-to-date information out to voters can be a struggle. And it's not even, you know, I just took this on and I'm trying, let alone for what you guys try to do as far as getting accurate information out that can be different depending on, because it is so decentralized. And so just trying to get, while you're here, get you to say, to tell us what has been changed so more people can be aware. But then I guess also while you're here, what should people know leading up to April 4th in the days that we have left?
The days. Yeah, the countdown is on. A couple things. If your municipality has a website, always check the website. We always try to keep dates and information regarding upcoming elections on our website. If not, you can always go to myvote.wi.gov and you can look up your name and your date of birth and figure out what's on your ballot. You can find your clerk's information. And a lot of times we input when we start in-person absentee voting. We are required by law to publish notices when it comes to election two in our official newspaper. So here in the city of Lake Geneva, you can always check the Lake Geneva Regional News. And they'll have it posted in there. And the other thing is you can always give us a call or shoot us an email. The more that we can inform our voters and give everybody the information, the better. Because as much as you would like to hope and rely on other sources to report the correct information, sometimes it's just better to hear it from the horse's mouth, as it were. So give us a call.
All right. That is good to know. Give them a call. And I guess the last question is, what could the average voter do to make your guys' life easier?
Oh.
Oh.
Can we bring you guys snacks or something?
Is it just be nice to you?
Yeah. You know, that is a big part of it is, you know, the understanding, again, like I said, that we are stewards to the law. So it isn't us, you know, as individuals that are making these changes. We are doing everything within statute that we are able to do. So there's certain things that we can and that we used to be able to do. And that we just can't anymore, or that we are now able to do that we weren't able to do before. So, you know, the good job, thank you so much, and the understanding, that goes a long way. If we know that we're making your lives easier and that you're happy with how we are running things and how things are going for you, that's what matters to us.
That is a great answer.
That is a wonderful answer.
You're saying understanding and empathy goes a long way? No.
It does. You know, what a crazy concept, right?
All right. Lotta Kropp is the city clerk for the city of Lake Geneva. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Good luck with the election. And I'm sure we'll have you back to give us more voting information in the future.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me. All right. Happy St. Patty's Day.
You too. All right. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Oh, mother, tell your children not to do what I have done. I sat out on election day and someone else just...
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
The Badgers men's basketball team is in postseason play, and you can hear the action from the National Invitational Tournament on these local Civic Media radio stations.
Wisconsin hosts Liberty in the second round of the NIT this Sunday with an 11 a.m. tip-off.
WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. In Richland Center, dial up WRCE 1450 AM or 107.7 FM. And in Amory, tune in 1260 AM WLAK. Every win in the NIT, find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and on the app.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman.
In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lows around 11, tonight under cloudy skies with a chance of scattered snow showers. West winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 24. Cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 11. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 18.
In life that I felt so all alone that I never thought that someday I would have a happy home. A family and a four-track Radio Shack microphones. A backyard and a hammock and a paid-off student loan. Backyard and a hammock and a paid-off student loan. So if you see me...
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. We're going to introduce our next guest in just a minute, but some breaking news we will get to in the next segment. But J.R. Ross from WisPolitics just reported that Doug LaFollette is retiring, and Evers is going to appoint Sarah Godlewski.
Secretary of State.
So that is, he's been in office for a very long time.
A really, really long time.
So we'll talk about that more in the next segment, because I don't want to steal any time away from our next guest. But we have talked about student loans a lot. We have talked about how to encourage more Wisconsinites to go to college, to be able to afford to go to college, the different programs that both the UW system, but also the Wisconsin Technical College system is trying to do to make school more accessible and affordable and higher education more accessible and affordable for more people. So here to talk about the Bucky Pels program and the Wisconsin Promise program is Helen Faith, who is the UW at UW Madison as the director of the Office of Student Financial Aid. Welcome to the show, Helen.
Thank you so much for having me, Kristen.
So the original, because I know that there's also a debate right now happening on how to expand what is really only been at UW Madison so far, but this tuition promise program that covers the last mile of lower income, so $62,000 or less that the family makes for students going to Madison, paying off that last mile after Pell Grants, after other scholarships. And so far, Madison is really the first school to do this, right?
Absolutely. The first school in Wisconsin. I can't say we're the first school.
Sorry, in the UW system.
Absolutely. The first school in the UW system to offer this. And so this was developed, as you mentioned, it's been in place for a few years now. We have Bucky's Tuition Promise, which was introduced in the 2018-19 academic year. And we now have our fifth class benefiting from this program. And we graduated our first class last spring of freshmen who came in the first year. So that's very, very exciting. And we really built this program to be as simple and clear as possible. And so it was really built around what is the state's median household income? And can we ensure that all students coming from a household income at the median or below can afford to go to UW-Madison and make that messaging as simple as possible? And so it was launched in 1819 with that, you know, you just have to meet the AGI threshold. Mm-hmm. If you're at that combined household adjusted gross income or below, you can qualify to go to UW-Madison for free for 4 years as a freshman or for 2 years as a transfer student. Even if things change in future years, as long as you qualify in that first year, we guarantee that to you for the whole period of time. And so we're really excited that the UW system has, you know, has caught the bug and yeah. has decided that this is something worth doing for the whole state, for the whole system. And so they have similarly set a threshold for household income. And they'll be making that promise to students again for 2 years for transfers and for 4 years for incoming freshmen. It's a little bit different in that, you know, their income threshold is set at $62,000, and our income threshold will be moving from $60,000 to $65,000 this coming fall.
Okay.
So some little nuances, right?
Yeah.
Theirs is funded through the system. Ours is funded through private donations and private resources. And so there's some differences there as well. So those are kind of the major differences between the two programs. And then starting this fall, we're really excited to be able to announce that we've decided to expand further, realizing that tuition and fees are a huge part of the overall cost of going to college and the thing that most people understand to be the major cost of going to college, but that there are a lot of other costs involved as mm-hmm. well, right? And so if you have your tuition and fees covered, that's great, but what if you don't have your rent covered? What if you can't afford to pay for your meal plan? What if you can't afford your books, right? And so we've been working for a number of years to really expand affordability. Bucky's Pell Pathway is our new program that makes it very clear that not only do you have your tuition and fees covered, but we'll also ensure that your full financial need is covered. Financial need is kind of a tricky concept.
I mean, that was, but, I just, even right now, so is there two different names?
Yes,
Bucky's
there are two different programs that are very, that are similar, they're very aligned, but they're not exactly the same, right?
Okay.
And they don't necessarily always serve the exact same students, but there's a huge amount of overlap. Both programs are for Wisconsin residents, and they are applicable in the first term that you enter UW-Madison, either as a freshman or a transfer student. That's when we determine your eligibility. Bucky's Pell Pathway, again, it meets full financial need, which I realize is a trickier topic, a trickier concept to communicate to students and families, but in essence, your cost of attendance is something that every school calculates, and it includes your tuition and fees, but it also includes those other costs that I was talking about. So it includes your housing, your meals, it includes transportation, you know, to and from school during the school year, to and from home during the breaks. It includes personal expenses and your books and other course materials. So we build a cost of attendance that includes all of those costs on top of tuition. And so, you know, whereas tuition and fees for a Wisconsin resident for the upcoming year will be $10,798 is the current estimate. The total cost of attendance, once you add in all those additional costs, is $28,498. So there's quite a difference between mm-hmm. those two. Financial need is just the difference between that cost of attendance and when a student applies for financial aid, what that expected family contribution is.
Got it.
So that's where it gets a little bit more tricky, and that's why with Bucky's tuition promise, we really kept it around AGI, because virtually anybody on the street, if you stop them and you say, hey, is your adjusted gross income under $65,000 or over, most people can probably answer that pretty quickly.
Yep.
Whereas most folks probably would have no idea what their expected family contribution might be.
Yes.
Based on the FAFSA. Right.
We're talking to Helen Faith, who is the director of the Office of Student Financial Aid at UW-Madison, and I think it's, when it comes to hearing the programs that are available, it's great. How hard is it to get the information to the people to even when they're applying? Because I would imagine that a lot of people who are eligible for either program, both programs, maybe first generation college students. So right. their parents' ability to navigate the system of getting into college, let alone the financial and all the scholarship money. And so the web of information and the different names and the different eligibility. And so it's a lot of information, and for not only for a teenager, but even for adults. And so how much of the challenge is it? It's one thing to get the programs up and running. It's another thing right. to get the information to the people who need it. And so how does that Absolutely. Get distributed?
That's a great question. You know, sometimes through outlets like this, right? In various news stories, whether it's on, you know, on television or on the radio or in press, online. So lots of information goes out that way. We also work really closely with lots of schools across the state to get the word out. And we try to partner as much as we can with various organizations to, again, help to support that message. So, you know, we go out and we do presentations, we communicate with the high school counselors, and just really try to, again, keeping the message simple, I think, is really key. Because, you know, if you can tell somebody what this program is in an elevator speech, and they can remember that and pass that on to the next person, so much does happen through word of mouth, through family connections, through friends. I think a perfect illustration of how that simple messaging and that kind of constant sort of drip campaign of getting that information out to folks who were involved in post-sec, in rather K through 12, is so important is when I was at my own middle schoolers' completion ceremony in last spring, somebody stood up and was talking about the importance of going to college and how, you know, as these students are going to high school, they should be planning for that. And he said, and you know, Bucky's tuition promise is there for families making under the income threshold at the time was $60,000. Yeah. It was like this person was planted there, right?
Yeah. And yet, Your ears perk up. Like, do they know what I'm saying?
That's my institution. I'm so proud of us, and I'm so proud of the state for moving that direction, the UW system. But it was great to hear that. You know, again, it's that clear and simple messaging and being really consistent about it. The fact that we make that guarantee to families on the front end, you know, that this is something we're going to do for you for 4 years, even if your income changes. We've made this commitment. That commitment stands for 4 years, similarly to the Pell Pathway. Families need predictability. Students need predictability in their financial aid. They need to not have to worry every single year, and they need it to be simple. So we don't require students to do anything extra beyond just, you know, applying to college and applying for financial aid as they normally do. There's nothing extra that we require them to jump through to get there. And, you know, another key element of Bucky's Pell Pathway is that it's a pathway to allow for debt-free college. Right. It's not necessarily a promise, and the students could still choose to take loans, but we try to meet their financial need in such a way with grants and scholarships and work study awards that, you know, as long as they have a family contribution coming in or perhaps they have zero contribution required, that full cost is covered. So they don't need to borrow loans to attend UW-Madison necessarily. Our hope is that they can get through school debt-free. And if they do have to borrow, that that's as minimal as possible. And again, I think that messaging is important too. Many students, particularly those students who come from, you know, less affluent households, are going to be really concerned about taking on student loans, especially given the national discourse around student loans. And we don't want that to be a worry. We don't want that to be a deterrent for students who are capable of benefiting from an education here at UW-Madison.
Helen, I think sometimes that some of the applications and all the paperwork that you have to fill out can be really daunting for people. Yes. Is there like an application tutor that can help people get through these things?
I can't say that I'm an expert in all the different channels involved in applying to college, applying to all of the different types of financial aid that students might receive. I think the best that we can do, you know, from where we sit is to use existing structures and not require extra steps, right? And so students can apply to UW-Madison through different admissions channels, either the, you know, if they want to use the common application because they're using that for a huge number of schools, they can use that. If they want to use the UW system application, they can use that if they're only applying to UW system schools. So to give them options and keep it as simple as possible. Similarly for financial aid, all they have to do is file the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. They do have to do that every year, but there is no supplemental application. There's no additional essay that we require for this. We again try to keep it simple. We don't want to add additional barriers. We just want to make sure that students know that UW-Madison is committed to making this an affordable option for you. We want you to come. We have so many talented students in the state of Wisconsin from every county, and we want to welcome them all.
So since the program's been, it started in 2018, so it's been a couple years. There's been one graduating class. Have you seen an uptick in a shifting demographic, or what has been some of the changes or that you've seen in the student body of the people who are benefiting from the program?
You know, that's a great question. I think, you know, what we're hoping that we'll see is an increasing number of Wisconsin residents from, you know, median and lower income households coming to UW-Madison and realizing that there aren't barriers in front of them. And I think there's certainly, what I've observed is a consciousness throughout the state. Apologies for my, I'll turn this off. But a greater consciousness that really does seem to permeate the state around that affordability. You know, beyond that, you know, I will run into people really all, sometimes when I'm traveling out of state even, and they say, oh, you're from UW-Madison. My sister went to UW-Madison and she received Bucky's tuition promise and it made a huge difference.
Oh, wow.
In many ways, like when we first started the program, it wasn't necessarily that we were giving that much more money necessarily per student, but it was the clarity of what we were providing,
yeah.
Right? We might have increased awards, but the more important thing was the simple messaging for families that this covers your full tuition. We would have students whose sisters would call them, brothers would call them to say, hey, I heard you got into UW-Madison. Did you hear about this program that was just publicized?
Oh.
So where they might not have otherwise put the pieces together that this covers full tuition and fees, they might not have read the letter necessarily that explained that to them. The fact is that because it hit the airwaves in the way it did, it really helped to build that consciousness so that whole families and communities could support each other in that.
You still got to get in, though. You still got to get in UW-Madison, which is still a hard thing to do. It is a very good school.
It's an excellent school, and we don't want to close the doors to anybody who's qualified to attend.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Well, is there anything else that people should know before we let you go for today, Helen?
Just that we are, you know, we're here to support you. If you ever have any questions, please reach out to us. We're absolutely committed to making UW-Madison an affordable and wonderful option for you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Helen Faith is the director of the Office of Student Financial Aid at UW-Madison. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we'll talk more about that breaking news about Doug LaFollette and do our weekly headline quiz. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
As a kid, we would play Annie at recess. I was always Sandy because I was the smallest. From all that crawling on the blacktop, there were holes in all my jeans, in the toes of my boat shoes, but I never complained because I didn't think that I could sing. See, I never perfected that nasally thing the way all the kids sang in the school play. Now I know it's better if we don't all sound the same. Now I know it's better if we don't all sound the same. So if you hear me, screaming.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
When you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day. When you're a jet, if the spit hits the fan, you got brothers around, you're a family man.
You're never alone.
You're never disconnected.
You're home with your own. When company's expected,
you're well protected. Then you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. I'm missing the connection.
Stephen Sondheim.
Ah.
You had a note about Stephen Sondheim.
I did have a note about Stephen Sondheim. I didn't know where I was going to sneak it in. But despite he did die in 2021,
yes,
at 91,
yes,
one of my favorite all-time musical theater contributors.
Did a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Wrote a lot of really good lyrics.
Yeah.
But his final musical is going to premiere off-Broadway in September. And so it is called Here We Are. It's going to make its off-Broadway world premiere this fall with Joe Mantello directing.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know much beyond that, but the director has won the Tony two times. Formerly known as Square One, the final musical composed by Sondheim before his death in 2021 will be staged at The Shed. And that's kind of all the information there is.
All right. So he wrote the lyrics to the Jet song from West Side Story.
Yeah.
He did not write the music, but he wrote the lyrics.
And so I didn't know we were going to talk about that. And so
I just wanted to throw... I love that song. See, that's the song that I used to dance around in my room, and I was the Sharks and the Jets, and I did everybody... Oh, yeah. So I can say... I know all the lyrics to that song.
I know most of the lyrics to that entire soundtrack, I would say. It's crazy how lyrics stick with you like that.
definitely.
Same thing with Into the Woods. Like, if you put on Into the Woods, I probably know most of the lyrics.
Anyway,
so we'll see how much time we have to, if we want to do both. But Doug LaFollette retiring.
He's been there.
He's been 40? There since 78, I think.
78.
So basically, he only 74.
Wow.
LaFollette was first elected as Secretary of State in 1974, and he served a single term before mounting an unsuccessful challenge to be Lieutenant Governor.
Ah.
So then he went back and ran for Secretary of State again in 1982, and he has been the Secretary of State since. And that means through Republican sweeps, all the, you know, the Walker years, the Tommy Thompson years, the years that, like, Republicans did very well in the election, Doug LaFollette still won year after year after year, including as recent as last fall.
Yeah, he just got reelected.
And that's why this is a little, sneaky. Because he had a challenger. I'm forgetting her name, but it was the leader of the Dane County Democratic Party primaried him and lost. But I remember because I did a video about this last year, because the woman who was the Republican who challenged him in the general was, I'm not going to say a straight up election denier, but
embraced the idea,
you know. Had some questions about our election integrity, and, you know, similar to other states where had Republicans won, the governor, had Tim Michaels won, had the woman who was running for Secretary of State won, had there been more of a Republican sweep, they were going to restore a lot of the responsibilities that had been stripped from the Secretary of State to put a lot more power back in the hands of one person to be controlling our elections. And so it was kind of this conundrum or this catch, I don't know if catch 22 is the right word, but to have someone challenging Doug LaFollette, who's basically been unbeatable
for decades,
even though his job, what his role has become is.
It's been so stripped
down.
It's
like he basically protects the state seal. And that's
because there's a lot of threats towards the state seal.
It's, you know, so it's not like there's a lot going on in that job, but there was at the risk of had his challenger beat him in the primary, she had a lot less name recognition than he does.
Definitely.
So then you create a situation where she may not be able to beat the Republican, despite the fact that he's proven that he can beat Republicans for so long. And it was like this whole thing. So now to have him basically just win so that he can step down is a little like,
And give Governor Evers the appointment.
Yes. And, Sarah Godlewski, friend of the show,
yeah,
and everything. But seeing that a little bit is like, oh, you literally just ran so you could retire and someone else can get appointed for the next 4 years before they have to run again.
All they are doing is following the Supreme Court appointment playbook of Mitch McConnell. I have no problem with this whatsoever.
Good.
None.
I don't have a problem. I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but I raise an eyebrow. He is like 84, though.
It's time. It's time.
Him and his sun hat that he wears everywhere. But yeah, I mean, it's...
And you got to give him props for being a public servant all of these decades in what is arguably one of the least sexy jobs in state government.
I know. He's 82. Sorry, I misspoke. 82. Didn't want to take 2 years away from him. But 82, Doug LaFollette is retiring. Sarah Godlewski will step in. So she'll also she'll probably still be able. I wonder if what she'll have to do with Women Win Wisconsin. Can you still be running a pack if you are in office? I mean, I guess she was technically still state's treasurer when she started Women Win Wisconsin in the fall. Because just because she was running for Senate doesn't mean she didn't still have her elected position.
We'll have to have her back on because she was just on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're still doing the rallies and everything. So I don't know what the conflict, if there is any conflict there as far as running an organization like that while still holding office.
See, and now I want, the next time that we get to have her on the show, I want her to come in so she can bring the state seal. It'll be very exciting.
Take pictures with it. Oh, make it our profile picture across every my new LinkedIn picture.
Oh, it'll be huge.
All right. Well, that will do it for any serious parts of today's show. Well, that's not true. We're going to have fun in the next hour. We're going to do a lot of St. Patrick's Day topics, maybe tell you some facts you didn't know about St. Patrick's Day.
Some surprising stuff.
Maybe some, we'll hear from some of you of how you celebrate St. Patrick's Day, even if you're not Irish. But also a conversation around making fun of swaths, making fun of the Irish for certain tropes, but also making fun of Wisconsin for some tropes, and who gets to do it, and can you do it as long as you do it well? We'll have a conversation about that all coming up in the next hour. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. More soon.
You're the top cat in town.
You're the gold medal kid with the heavyweight crown.
When you're a jet,
you're the swinginest thing. Little boy, you're a man.
Little man, you're a king.
The jets up in here. Our cylinders are clicking. Trucks will stick clear.
Cause every Puerto Rican's a lousy chicken. Here come the jets like a out of hell. Someone gets in our way. Someone don't feel so well. The jets, little world, step aside. Better go underground. Better run, better hide. We're drawing a line. So keep your noses hidden. We're hanging aside. This visit is forbidden.
And we ain't kidding.
Here come the jets, yeah. And we're gonna beat every last fucking game on the whole fucking street. On the whole Ella, mother.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
If you talk and they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So don't they hear you? You
can do it if you try. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The cheers at Wall Street's closing bell may have been because the losses were finally ending for the day. The Dow dropping nearly 400 points despite another move to shore up a failing lender, San Francisco-based First Republic. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger on what's next.
Barring any news over the weekend about continued evidence of regional bank weakness, all eyes will be on the Federal Reserve.